Okay, everybody. It is Thursday. Typically, we do our thought crime show, which we are doing right now. But with the breaking news, we have our panel and we are pivoting to this breaking news. A Manhattan jury has found Trump guilty on all counts. We have Andrew, we have Blake, we have Jack.
Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message, we play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
I want to just start going through all the facts here. A Manhattan jury has found Trump guilty on all counts. By the way, I'm getting my MAGA hat. Look at that visual. I'm retrieving it. It's in the other room. Look at that. Isn't that the best visual ever? Andrew, seeing Blake.
It's not the best
hat,
ever. You don't have your hat on. Get the hat on, Charlie.
I'm searching it out for the record.
Peer
okay.
Peer pressure. Well, peer pressure.
I'm on board for it. I'm seeing Blake
dancing,
in a MAGA
folks,
hat is amazing. So look, a Manhattan jury has found Trump guilty on all counts. We knew from the start this was the most likely outcome. This case was engineered for years from the very top of the Democrat apparatus to bring down Trump using a rigged law in a rigged courtroom with a rigged jury. Trump will appeal and this will eventually be overturned, but this is a scar on our nation. For today, at least, this country looks a lot more like Venezuela or China or Russia than the United States of America. Now we must be ready to maintain our resolve. There will be an unprecedented push to say that Trump cannot be allowed to win and that we cannot elect a convicted felon. Do not give in. They did this because they are desperate. They will lose and they will pay. This is an indictment of the New York legal system, not Donald Trump. I support Trump more after all of this crap. And we must understand the sentencing is now set for July 11th. There's so much to get through here tonight. We're going to be going longer than our usual allotted time. You guys can email us throughout the evening, freedom@charliekirk.com, and communicate with us in real time on the chat. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Rumble. We are live on X. We're live on Facebook. We will be live on A Real America's Voice. Jack, I want to throw it to you. Jack, I want to get a vibe check. What is the everyday person saying? Are the Democrats winning the narrative war? Is there rejoicing and celebrating? Or is there consolidating amount of support for President Trump now that he is technically a convicted felon, Jack Posobiec?
Charlie, what I'm seeing out there is a tale of two cities. And it's a situation where, yes, inside the halls of the power elite, the brokers, the folks of the Capitol, if you will, they're cheering, they're celebrating, they're throwing up their green and blue hair in applause and adulation. But meanwhile, the regular people who live out in the districts, the people who actually put this country together every day, the people who drive the trucks, the people who keep us safe, the people who actually run the businesses, the muscular class, as you like to say, Charlie, those people are incensed. And I'll tell you the number one thing that's flooding my inbox right now. People are saying, Jack, how do I donate to Donald Trump? And I don't mean just people who, who know me and know that I'm, kind of involved in politics and all this. I mean, people who are just crawling out of the woodwork, family members that I only talk to on holidays, friends from childhood. They're all texting me, how do I donate? How do I get involved? How do I donate to this guy? Myself personally, I don't usually donate to political campaigns. It's just not something that I've ever done. But today is not normal. And this moment is not normal. So just minutes before the show started today, I maxed out to Donald J. Trump for the entire year.
And nice. By the way, just today alone at Turning Point Action, we raised nearly $1 million today. Just at Turning Point Action for ballot chasing. And just today alone, small dollar donations, yes. But, I was just on the phone again. I was working the phones here. And I got a text message from one of our donors. They said, Charlie, I'm going to give $250,000. We had another do $100,000. We are getting incoming like you wouldn't believe. And I want to throw it to Andrew here, but I'm going to read this one text message from an anti-Trump Republican who is in my orbit, in my family. I'm not going to say who. And he's a conservative. He's a good man. He says, I cannot believe the verdict. Makes me sick. When I got this text, I was like, what? He said, Trump is below the law. Not above the law. I kind of love that. Below the law. They make the law up. He has his own standard. It is repulsive. Andrew, from a vibe check, at least anecdotally and from on social media, the American people are not tolerating this. They're not celebrating. They're not rejoicing it. It feels like an overreach. It feels third world. It feels tin pot dictator. If you hated Trump so much, then beat him in the ballot box. Don't rig a trial against him. Andrew, from your analysis on social, what are we looking at or feeling right now?
You know, Charlie, the thing that struck me is that they've spent basically the last 6-7 years trying to paint Donald Trump as Putin. And in their, zeal to do so, they've revealed that they are, in fact, Putin. They are absolutely, I think they've completely jumped the shark. I want to throw up this image, 158, guys, if you could do that. This is a crazy, gut check right here. If you're Democrats, I think, Charlie, you tweeted something like, you're about to reap the whirlwind, quoting Chuck U. Schumer. 158, yeah. So this is Guy Benson responding to a guy named Con Carroll, who said, Through two primaries and two general elections, I have never voted for Trump. I would crawl over broken glass to vote for him now. And Guy says, I've gotten a lot of these of texts like this. No idea, like, you know, if this will offset the negative. Then you look down and there's Peter Meyer, who literally voted to impeach Donald Trump. You know, a conservative, quote unquote, who voted to impeach Donald Trump just said, same. If that's not a vibe check of where this kangaroo court out of New York has thrust the American population, where it's, you know, put just normie moderate people, I don't know what is. This is crazy to see that image right there. And I mean, I think when we talk a lot about boomerangs, we talk a lot about this stuff. This is unlike anything we've ever seen. This is the Mar-a-Lago raid on steroids, which is the only thing I can think of that comes anywhere close to this. People are flipping mad.
Yeah, and so I want to go to Blake here. My only comment, though, is that the Mar-a-Lago raid, it faded. I don't think this will fade, meaning we didn't see that translate into midterm anything. We thought it would. We kind of just forgot about it. This feels completely different. And so, Blake, there's a series of tweets here that show how the left is not really even comfortable celebrating this, almost as if that unless you're like a completely dark and suppressed individual your soul has been overtaken by the shadow, that even they're like a little bit worried about this. So, Blake, talk about how in 2020 they were celebrating in the streets. We aren't even seeing that. Some like lunatics are banging pots and pans.
Yeah.
So talk about this.
This is a tweet that I just floated across from someone on Twitter just called Blair. I don't think they're a major person, but they say in Boerum Hill, I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a neighborhood in Brooklyn. In Boerum Hill, an older couple just stepped out of a brownstone and started banging pots and pans together. Nobody on the street reacted. So they added, guilty, guilty, and then walked back inside. And I think a lot of us might remember the Saturday after the fall election. It's when they called the race for Joe Biden. There was an actual pretty spontaneous reaction from the left where they went outside and they had very cringe celebrations, honking horns in the street and all that. They posted their Twitter videos of them dancing, all of that. And that did happen in 2020. And now they finally got what so many of them supposedly wanted. They got Donald Trump is convicted. And you have a few lame old people go outside and they bang some pots pathetically and no one cares. The energy has gone. There's so much energy that's been lost by the left in the last few years, because I think it's pretty clear Biden has been a hugely disappointing, even disastrous president for them. They've seen so many norms be overreached in the frenzy to go after Trump. It's just all the energy is different. The energy in 2024 is way off for the left. They've lost their vitality as a movement. Another one that I want to flag, this is another thing. This is posted by Sean McGuire. He is a partner he's a partner at Sequoia Capital. That's a finance firm. He also is a PhD in physics from Caltech. And he's got about 100,000 followers on X. And he just posted this almost the moment that the verdict went live. And he posted, I just donated $300,000 to Trump. I don't know how he broke that up, but he donated $300,000.
You're only allowed to donate $2,800. So I want to know what.
Towards the Trump cause.
He should learn about our ballot. By the way, Andrew, can you send him a DM and be like, hey, you should learn about our ballot chasing project?
Yes. I'm not kidding. Yep. Go ahead, please. Do that. And he said, I just donated $300,000 to Trump. I'm prepared to lose friends. Here's why. He says, in 2016, I drank the media Kool-Aid. I donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign. I voted for her. In 2020, I was disillusioned and didn't vote. I didn't like either option. Now, in 2024, I believe this is one of the most important elections of my lifetime, and I'm supporting Trump. And he says, it's a pretty long post. I encourage you guys to find it. In fact, I'll post a link for anyone who's watching on Rumble. I will put the link right there so you guys all can read it. And he just says, it's the most important election of my lifetime. I refuse to live in a society where people are afraid to speak. And I think that is an idea a lot of people are picking up on, that they understand Trump was not targeted because he was a criminal. He was targeted for what he said, what he's done as a politician, what he threatens to do as a politician if he is elected again. He was targeted for political reasons, period. And people can intuit this, and I think it's going to only get worse as this goes on. The longer we get from the actual conviction, I think the more it's going to be entrenched in people's heads. This is a political move. Anytime anything bad happens for Biden this year, it's going to be the thought in people's heads. Oh, no wonder he had to try to put Donald Trump in jail, because his presidency is going south. His presidency is a disaster. So his only option was pulling a Latin American dictator and trying to throw the other guy in jail.
So I want to now, we have huge viewers right now across all platforms, and we are going to have Real America's Voice. We're going to join with them soon. You guys can email us throughout freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to play this. This is one guy who says it's a majestic day. A miracle is too strong of a word. It's a day for celebration. Enjoy your ecstasy because you are reaping a whirlwind. Like at 147.
We've been holding our breath as a country for a long time, waiting for the cavalry to arrive in the form of the rule of law. And it did arrive today, and it's a majestic day. And we are rightly saying the system worked like clockwork, and the jury was diligent and attentive, and the judge was firm and gentle. Donald Trump is a different person now. He's a convict. He's not innocent until presumed guilty. He is guilty. He will get bail, it's true, but he's in a whole different status in society, in the legal system, in the rule of law. That's not only fitting, but a kind of miracle is too strong a word, but a really a day for celebration just because of the work like clockwork of the system, powered by not the personalities, but the law.
And that guy was going to go all Jeffrey Toobin, and he was about to do something that you get it. So by the way, the MAGA hat is incoming for all everyone.
It better be. We're waiting, Charlie. If you don't have it by the end,
I have a good excuse. We have a 2-week-old that needs tending to, and then the MAGA hat. Okay.
Do you have like a Sharpie you could draw it on your forehead if we
should
need
I just
to?
Should I just, you know, write MAGA?
I think you need to get a Trump tattoo on your forehead, Charlie.
Yeah, that's so that's this. Who is that lunatic, by the way? Who is this guy? That this guy that we just saw. I mean, he was just awfully self-pleasuring over this. What was this guy's name? Anyway, the vibes for the Democrat Party seems to be completely off here. So, Andrew, there were reports, and I want to make sure they're verified, that there was celebration at the Biden reelection campaign headquarters. Is that correct? Oh, yeah. And either of you can chime in here. I saw a report about that. I want to make sure it's verified. Blake, you sent that. Is that correct?
It's reported. CNN, I saw the image that they were celebrating. I didn't see any tape or whatever. I assume they'd be celebrating. They are liberals. I hope they at least wanted this to happen. It'd be pretty embarrassing if they'd already decided they didn't want Trump to be convicted already. I do think it is an image that will age well for us and badly for them. I think that'll be the sort of thing on November 6th. People will be posting it and thinking like, good job, guys. You screwed it up again. That's kind of been a recurring thing with Trump, is they'll badly want something to happen and it'll blow up in their face. Remember, back in 2015, the Hillary Clinton campaign tried to encourage the Donald Trump candidacy because they thought he'd be the easiest guy to beat. And they were regretting that a year later. And I could easily see this being the case where they'll think, why did we convict this guy? Why did we charge this guy? Remember, the weakest point for Donald Trump between him leaving office and now, the weakest point for him was that window just after the midterm election where people were thinking Republicans didn't get their red wave. Trump magic is fading. This is the opportunity for others to step up. And what slammed the door on that? What slammed the door on that was Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis and Jack Smith bringing these charges. And that's what locked it in, that after that, no question Trump was going to get renominated again. Democrats chose to have Donald Trump as their opponent when they did that. And Now he's convicted. Congratulations. You guys got what you wished for and hope you enjoy it.
So the I want to play that. Alvin Bragg says he's just doing his job. It is hard to put into words the craven nature of this lunatic, where he has allowed crime to go all throughout New York. 24,000 plus New Yorkers have been assaulted on the streets so far this year. He has downgraded 53% of felonies to misdemeanors. It is open season in New York, unless you are a political dissident, unless you have a political view that they don't like. And I want everybody in the audience to understand, you may not like Donald Trump, but if you have any admiration for the United States of America, for our Constitution, for checks and balances, for consent to the governed, for the tradition that built the West, then today is an outrage. And there is only one option, which is you send a message in November that you still believe in our customs and our traditions. It's not about voting for Trump. It's about voting for the continuation or the obliteration of the United States of America. Play cut 150.
I did my job. Our job is to follow the facts and the law without fear or favor. And that's exactly what we did here. And what I feel is just gratitude to work alongside phenomenal public servants who do that each and every day in matters that you all write about and make the press, and in lots of matters that you don't. I did my job. We did our job. Many voices out there. The only voice that matters is the voice of the jury. And the jury has spoken.
We are also now live on Real America's Voice. Hello, everybody. We are live. And by the way, I know you're saying, Charlie, where's the MAGA hat? It's incoming. It's coming in. So this is very important. And Jack, I'm going to throw it to you. Alvin Bragg ran on this. Alvin Bragg told us this is what he was going to do. He ran on a nakedly political election promise. I will use political power to go after the opposition. If his name was not Trump, he would not have been in trial. They still can't tell you what the crime was. The jury went 34 for 34 across the board in a rigged trial in zip code justice. Alvin Bragg did the ditch digging work of the Biden reelection campaign. However, is it actually helping them? Jack Posobiec.
So, Charlie, when Alvin Bragg says, I did my job, that's the first honest thing I think this guy has actually said in this entire process. Yes, he did do his job. He did his job for the far left, for the Marxists that are participating in an irregular communist revolution in our country right now. What was his job? His job was to make Trump have to wear this label like an albatross around his neck. Now going into the general election, hasn't even been nominated yet. By the way, the sentencing, we haven't even talked about this yet, but the sentencing has now been scheduled for, I think, 3 days before the beginning of the Republican convention. So this is just amazing. And I want people to understand this. I want people to be very clear, and I want you to look at it directly in the eye. This is your country now. You can do something about that this year, or you can lay back and have this be the rest of our future. This is the rest of eternity for America will be like this. Or you can actually fight. And that's the end of the day, because they want to put Donald Trump behind bars and deny him the ability to have that convention. By the way, they know this will all get appealed on, it'll all get overturned on appeal, maybe not at the direct level, but, you know, certainly at a higher court level. But that's not the point. The point is so that they get to run around and say, and you see these little Democrats already doing it, convicted felon Donald Trump, convicted Stephen King's out there running his mouth. Stephen King, who hasn't written a good book in 40 years since the last time since Robert De Niro opened a movie, that, you know, Donald Trump, convicted felon. And that's what Alvin Bragg's job was from the very start. His job was to deliver this verdict. That was also Judge Juan Merchan's job from the very start. And I wouldn't be surprised if Juan Merchan's name finds itself on the short list for appointments to the federal bench by the Biden administration. Of course, they wouldn't be so brazen as to do it this term. But if Biden is somehow able to steal the election, then guess what? They'll be doing that in the next term. Look, so all of this was rigged. All of this was a predetermined outcome. This is the same as the Soviet show trials in the Bolshevik years in the Soviet Union. This is the same as when King Louis was given a quote unquote fair trial. And how did that work out for him and his wife? Again, show trials are something that left has been doing for 250 years. They just don't usually do them here.
Well, no, and especially against former presidents that are up in the polls that are building an amazing political movement. Andrew, are you sensing any regret from the Biden campaign or the left? It's interesting. Have we seen the victory lap yet from powerful Democrats? And I haven't seen, for example, and you guys, I want you to fact check me. Have we seen Obama, Pelosi, Clinton, Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, have any of them commented on this yet? I'm just asking. I'm curious. And because if not, that is very telling. That is the power center. That is the rod of power of the Democrat Party. If again, these apparatchiks on television or whatever, but the ruling class of the Democrats have they spoken out? Have they said anything? And by the way, in the audience, you guys can email us your thoughts in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. Andrew, have you seen that?
Hakeem Jeffries, yes. He said, America is a nation built upon the rule of law. The jury has spoken and carefully rendered a decision. Responsible leadership requires the verdict to be respected. And then Chuck Schumer has not issued a statement. I know that the Biden campaign and the Biden White House issued a very just sort of a ho-hum statement. It was not spiking the football, which was actually at odds from some of the original reporting, saying that they were going to, you know, have a press conference and do a whole song and dance after the verdict. That didn't happen. I think what you saw on network, especially like MSNBC, CNN, you saw a moment of relief. You saw a moment of ecstasy. But I think after that initial reaction, I think their secondary reaction has been very muted at best. I think they are seeing the writing on the wall. They obviously the energy on social media is crazy. I mean, your Twitter account, everything you send out right now, it's like I mean, they're just flying, right? And that's going. That's not just you. There's a lot of other people on Twitter that's the way. And they're seeing these. The fact that Donald Trump's website crashed because people were trying to donate. So I think that they're seeing it. They're seeing the blowback. And now you're going to see it very muted. They're going to say, "Well, this was just the rule of law. Everybody's just following the facts." They know that they very well could be the dog that caught the ambulance, and now they don't know what the hell to do with it.
So there's one look. There's a couple things we need now to rally behind President Trump in record ways, and that can happen in a couple ways. One of the ways is again at Real America's Voice. We're going to have a huge platform here. Prepare cut one. We have President Donald Trump, who is now a political prisoner and a martyr against the regime that has made you poor, the regime that has sent your sons and daughters overseas needlessly and to foreign adventurous wars, the regime that has kept the border open. They have now tried to remove the one person that has decided to try to stand up for you and fight for you. We are rallying behind him in Detroit, Michigan in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, we have Vivek Ramaswamy, Steve Bannon, Ben Carson, Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr., and of course, President Donald Trump is our keynote. Play cut one.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump, Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr., Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Tulsi Gabbard, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Ben Johnson, Jack Posobiec, Lee Zeldin, Congressman E.R. Craig, Brandon Tatum, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
So get your tickets right now at tpaction.com/peoples. By the way, this is a 2020 MAGA hat, just so we are clear. This is OG 45.
Charlie.
No, that, hey, it says
Charlie.
Trump on the back.
It says USA. Yeah. It doesn't say make America great again. It is by definition, so this is like not a MAGA hat.
That is a, No, no. Remember when Trump went to the USA hat in 2020 for a little bit?
No, that wasn't just during 2020. It was during the administration, because that was like, it's not a political hat. It's like a USA hat. So
I love that Blake's shaking his head.
Blake is right. It's not a MAGA hat. No
let,
way.
Let's let
no.
the audience foul decide. On is, the, is it
foul on the
good
play.
Or not so good?
Foul on the
so,
play.
All right. Everybody, get your tickets right now. All of us will be there. We'll be doing shows live in Detroit, Michigan, tpaction.com/peoples. We want to see you there. It is the event of the summer. It is for all of you, grassroots, Detroit, Michigan, June 14, 15, 16, tpaction.com/peoples. Blake, I want you to riff. It is Donald Trump. How should he handle this? Should this now be a pillar of Donald Trump's campaign, or should he just focus on Biden?
So, I've had some thoughts about this, and we've talked about this off screen. So I think the way that this could turn to Joe Biden's advantage is he would like the election to be a referendum on Donald Trump, purely on Donald Trump. Because if he does that, well, you know, about 50%, maybe a little half, still don't, they on balance don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump, most people are not going to vote for him. He probably won't get a majority. And, you know, just make it focus on Trump himself. And what he doesn't want is he doesn't want an election about Joe Biden, because Joe Biden has like the lowest approval ratings of any president since, you know, like Bush at his absolute worst. So he has disastrous approval and it's getting worse and it's a huge mess. And most people when polled think Donald Trump was a better president than Joe Biden. So he doesn't want a referendum on Biden, and he doesn't want the election to be Trump versus Biden. Who's better? He would prefer to just be all about Trump. And what I will say is Donald Trump has great political instincts, but I do think one of his biggest weaknesses is he does sometimes conflate his own personal stuff with the stuff of national importance. Now, this admittedly does blur the two. But what I think is the biggest winning move for Trump is anytime Joe Biden tries to bring this up in a debate, Trump says, "You're deflecting from the fact you're a disastrous president. You've destroyed our reputation abroad. You've wrecked the economy with inflation and everything else. You let crime run wild. You're trying to buy votes with like illegal amnesties on student loans, anything else. And that's why you're trying to throw me in jail with this sham thing." So you throw it in at the end, say, "This is what you're doing because you're otherwise a disastrous president." And everyone else who supports Trump, all of his surrogates, you, his vice president, his vice presidential pick, Vivek, Vance, whoever it is, all the rest of us, we're all going to be saying plenty that this is a rigged process to throw Donald Trump in jail, because it is. But for Trump himself, the key thing is, I was a better president. Joe Biden's a disastrous president. And that's why he's trying to throw me behind bars. And I think that's the winning message. And you don't want to get bogged down where Donald Trump is saying, "Oh, the judge was biased. This part of the trial was rigged against me." Don't get into the thicket of stuff you're only going to understand if you are following this every day on television, because most people weren't, and they won't know for sure whether it's true or not. But what they do know is Joe Biden's a terrible president and the country was better in 2018.
So, Jack, I mean, I received, now I'd say the shock that I get from some people, the can't believe texts, the I don't understand text.
Yeah, dude.
I just kind of laugh, and I got a couple of these recently. And I'm kind of like, wait, hold on. Wait, I mean, have you been living in the country last 4 years? Peter Navarro's in federal prison. They raided James O'Keefe's home. They have Rudy Giuliani indicted, Mark Meadows, Tyler Boyer. They're going after Turning Point Action across the board. They basically dissolved the NRA. What country are you living in? I can't believe. Oh, my goodness. The system of justice that we have bet our entire future on is not what we thought it once was. And I think this is a deep point that we must explore tonight, which is that the left, all they cared about was using power and taking over institutions to then take over the country. We have reverence for our documents, our traditions, and we've been afraid to entertain it. And we've held up as this ideal, this holy ideal, that our justice system will always save us. Well, guess what, moderate Republicans? You have bet on the wrong horse, because the justice system won't save you. The question is, can elections still save us? I certainly hope. Jack, I laugh at those text messages. I imagine you've been receiving some of the same.
Charlie, it's so interesting to me, because all throughout when I was down in Charlotte last weekend, and you know, we were actually with President Trump briefly, and then even just being on my phone this week, people all keep texting me, "Oh, do you think Trump's going to pull this out? Do you think the jury's going to acquit him?" And I just keep responding, "He's going to be found guilty." And I was very consistent on that. I was very consistent on air that, yeah, there's these, you know, kind of like what if scenarios. Sure, fine, but you know, more than likely, he's going to be found guilty because show trial, show verdict. And it goes. It reminds me of something that we find in the Bolshevik Revolution, where there's this line that says, even as the Bolsheviks were taking power, that so many people just followed the usual course of daily life without realizing that they would soon become the victims of the horrors that would befall them. And that's written by Pyotr Rangel, who was the leader of the White Army again that fought in the Civil War against the communists. And so it's this idea that when there's these rapid changes happening throughout history, and we dig into this in the book, that people who are so close to it and so much have their routine actually can't see it and actually can't realize that these things are going on. But then those of us who have been tracking it on a daily basis, by the way, not just starting in 2020 or 2021 with what they've done to the J6ers or what they've done to Doug Mackey, but even going all the way back to 2017 and some of the stuff that we don't even talk about anymore, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, the list goes on. General Flynn, obviously, there's a movie out about that. So the list goes on. But this has been happening since the very beginning of the Trump era. And this idea, and by the way, many of the names like Andrew Weissman, who I guess we didn't play his clip, but we've been playing his clip all week on the other show, that this guy who said he had a huge man crush on Juan Merchan was intrinsically linked. He was the guy who ran the Mueller investigation to begin with. So there's been this cabal of people who's been attempting the de-Trumpification of America literally since the election was called on the night of, what was it, November 8th, 2016. And so for those folks that are in our orbit, those folks that are in politics, those folks that are consultants, it's just you guys haven't even been on the playing field. You haven't even been paying attention. You want to run around and you've got so many of these Republicans, and everybody knows them. They want to talk about, oh, the war in the Middle East, and you know, whichever war of the week it is in the Middle East. Or they want to talk so much about the insolvable borders of Ukraine. Or they want to talk about, oh, such and such thing is going on, and we need to defend, you know, the natives of East Timor. Oh, the natives of East Timor. It's like, guys, we get it. There's all this stuff that's going on. But what about the problem of the communists in our midst right now here in the United States? And they say, oh, you're being mean. Oh, you're talking too loudly. Or, oh, Jack's just trying to get clicks. Charlie's just trying to get more podcast downloads, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, what happened here, Charlie, is that those of us that have actually been ringing the bell and sounding the alarm were just proven completely right and just given verifiable proof that, yes, we are living through the era of a regime. And we are living through an era of a regime, an oligarchy, whatever you want to call it, that has decided to completely throw our republic out the window. And for those of the people who are saying we shouldn't fight back and we shouldn't use reciprocity and we shouldn't be like them and we shouldn't lower ourselves to their level, we have to stick by our principles. Everybody knows this. You guys were wrong. You've been a hindrance. And if anything, you've actually kind of been aiding and abetting those of us that have actually been trying to take the fight to the enemy this entire time.
That's right. Hey, guys, look, I delivered.
Hey!
There it is.
Finally. I had to go into the archives.
Does Charlie have, like, Snapchat filters on right now? I don't know.
Everybody point to the hat. We have to get one screen grab of this.
One graphic.
Blake, you got to do it.
Having Blake with the MAGA hat makes my year. Because it's a symbol. And, Andrew, I want to talk about this. I am now going to wear this everywhere I go. Every single one of you. You need to now get one of these, go down, donate at DonaldJTrump.com, and you need to go into the streets and to show this regime, no. F you, actually. We're not going to put up with this. We are not going to tolerate your nonsense or your BS. We will not put up with this color revolution where you are trying to do a coup d'etat. This is not Haiti where you can just displace the will of the sovereign. You can just kind of come in and say, well, there's a plane waiting for you and we can get you to the Central African Republic or else we're going to take over the country. The same playbook that the CIA has done in other countries they're trying to do here. And Andrew, I think this is very important that somebody asked me, they called me, they said, Charlie, is this going to be a positive or negative? I said, it is what we make of it. This could end up being a massive positive if we stay peaceful, we stay restrained, we resist the temptation from feds trying to make us be violent and all that nonsense. And instead, we stay focused on action, we chase ballots, we register voters. I cannot wait to see the voter registration numbers after this. Andrew, how should we act and talk about how it's more important than ever for us to speak our mind in public regardless the cost?
Yeah, you actually put out a great tweet about this where you were like, step one, wear a MAGA hat. Step two, go out in public. Step three, have a conversation. When people react positively to you wearing this hat, that's an invitation to then ask them, hey, are you registered to vote? And you would be blown away by how few people are actually registered to vote, have a plan to vote. That's what you're doing at Turning Point Action with the ballot chasing. I mean, we're talking, by the way, people don't understand the scope of the ballot chasing, Charlie. I mean, the potential is hundreds of thousands of ballots across three states. We're talking huge, huge potential. And I know you don't like to talk about that, but I think it's an important piece. Hundreds of thousands of ballots across three states, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin. There's other people doing great work in Pennsylvania. Georgia's looking solid. But I'm saying this stuff matters because we've been blown away just how few people have a plan to vote in this election, even if they're sympathetic to Donald Trump. And here's the other thing. You've seen indications from guys in pop culture like The Rock. You've seen Cardi B. You've seen other celebrities, Rappaport, Michael Rappaport, who's like TDS patient number one. He's saying he's disappointed. Stephen A. Smith, you're seeing all the UFC stars. You're seeing all the rappers. You're seeing this like bubbling up happening. And here's my prediction, that today was the straw that broke the camel's back. And you are going to see a flood of pop culture, people that have had enough, that are going to stand by their principles publicly. They're going to own it. And that stuff, on top of everything, on top of the grocery bills, on top of the gas bills, on top of the fact you can't afford a home, all of that stuff is going to add up. And it is going to create a momentum that we have never seen in this movement. Now, here's the caution. The caution is this is still a game about putting ballots in a box. This is still about putting pieces of paper in a month-long span in a box. Advantage Democrats right now. Advantage Democrats. So, yeah, we win the persuasion game. We win the sympathy game. We win the fact that people don't like these tyrants game. We win all of those things, and we're going to win this pop culture bubbling up game. But it's ballots in a box, and they still have us beat on that because they've been ramping it up basically for 20 years. They've had this plan for 20 years, and they executed it flawlessly in 2020. And we're trying to counteract that. But that's why wearing this hat in public, that's why speaking your mind in public is so important right now, because there's so much meat on the bone. So many people are not registered to vote yet. We can make a difference. This audience right now, we have tens of thousands of people watching. Everybody get out there, start registering one person a day, and that can make all the difference.
Just yesterday, I met one of my neighbors and we got him registered. Blake, your thoughts?
Well, I want to be even more emphatic. It is basically a guarantee. The loser of this fall's election will have a number of supporters who supported them, said they liked them, but just didn't vote. And the number of those people will be greater than the amount they lose this election by. This will be the case for either Trump or Biden. Who would you rather it be? I think I would rather have it be Biden, who that applies to, who has he could have made it if his supporters turned out, but they just didn't. But instead, you see this all the time. You'll see these people who will say, I like Trump, but I'm not going to bother voting because they're just going to rig it. Those are people who want to psychologically, they've psychologically already lost. They think that they can somehow win by not bothering to try. And by not bothering to try, this shows that they aren't letting the regime control them or emotionally manipulate them. Here's what I would say. If the Democrats could just rig the entire thing from top to bottom, they actually wouldn't need to bother throwing Trump in jail. Because, well, why bother? Why make everyone angry? Why put everything at risk when they can just rig the whole thing anyway? They did this because they think they can lose, that they think throwing Trump in jail will somehow help them this fall. And it is our job to make sure that they are incorrect, that this backfires, that this blows up in their face. But you only do that by actually going out to vote and making sure the people you know vote and making sure the ones who are waffling and on the fence and indecisive or just don't, they aren't good at following through on things, by making sure that they vote. Make sure that they actually become a piece of paper that goes into the box and counts for 1 point in the giant high score battle that is a United States election. Ugh.
Well said. And look, we're about to re-welcome Real America's Voice here, but it comes down to agency. It comes down to your action. What are you going to do? Donating helps a lot. Be part of the Clipboard Army and get involved at tpaction.com. They are taking your country from you, and they already have. And when you see Donald Trump guilty on all 34 counts, that is a gut punch to the Republic, a gut punch to you, to our founding fathers, to the sacrifices that many of you have given to this country. We do not have the best fighting force on the planet to go die and to go risk their lives for this nonsense. Hello, everybody on Real America's Voice as well. We are now joining and combining forces. We are going through the news of the day. Donald Trump guilty on all 34 felony charges. I want to play a couple pieces of tape here, but I want to say you guys can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And I have a question for the audience here. Does this make you more likely to support Trump? Does this make any? If the answer is yes, then you must also say, what is my plan of action? What is my to-do list? If every person in this audience said, I am mad as heck and I can't take it anymore, then you have to go find one new voter. You have to go find two new voters. Because as Blake said, the low propensity aspect of what is happening here will determine the 2024 election. This country will be decided, will be saved, or it will be ruined based on how we act and what we do every single day from here on out. That's why we are doing the Detroit, Michigan event, our Turning Point Action People's Conference at tpaction.com. And so I want to go through some of the pieces of tape here. I think it's very, very important. And let's play this right here. Very, very critical. And we're starting to see these unhinged lunatics. Let's go here. Let's go to cut 157.
Today, when I was watching Donald Trump's face as the verdict was read, and I was watching as the jury filed out in front of him, I was struck by how not a single one of them, from my vantage point, looked at his face. They either looked straight ahead or they looked down as they passed by him. I never saw a juror look directly in his eyes. And you have to imagine now what those jurors have to wonder, what they must be feeling. The weight of getting up and knowing that you have to make this decision alone, how heavy that must have been to get out of bed and to understand that you, a decision that you make, could change the course of American history. Who knows how it's going to affect the election, but a decision you make will have some effect.
Direct election interference is the effect that it does have. And so today, as we say, this was an attempted judicial and legal assassination. Some of you in the audience remember where you were when you heard the news that they killed JFK. You remember where you were on 9/11. This is an equally as significant day. You will remember the day. You remember what you were doing when you heard the news, because it has never happened before in American history. And you know what the crime truly is? The crime is that Donald Trump is a class traitor. Donald Trump is a billionaire who did not play ball. He's a billionaire that did not go along with the neoliberal agenda, who defected from ways to what he was supposed to do and instead went to go fight for the everyday American. I want to play another piece of tape here, but first I want to throw it back to Jack. Before I do, in the audience, you guys can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we want to hear from you guys directly because the audience is fired up and you should be. Jack, what is the true crime that Donald Trump committed? It's not documents. No. It's something much more serious. Donald Trump is a class traitor, and Donald Trump has decided to challenge the bipartisan uniparty kingdom of Washington, D.C., and they want to put him on show trial, and they want him dead because of it. Jack Posobiec.
I'd like to I'll paraphrase Dave Chappelle, what he said on SNL, because I think it really it really puts it best. What Donald Trump did that's his greatest and most unforgivable sin to the ruling class in this country is that he left the ruling class and he got up on a stage and he got up in front of a microphone and he went to the regular people of America, the people of middle America, the people of the South, the people who are not the bi-coastal elite. And he said to them, you know something? Every single thing you think that's rigged about our system is exactly correct. In fact, it's actually worse. And then, and this is the convincer, because they said, and you want, and he said, you know how I know it? Because I was one of the guys in part of the system. I was part of the system too. I was part of this. I was part of the wheeling and dealing, but now I'm going to fight for you against that system. And we saw this again and again. Look, he took down, which dynasty did he take down first? It wasn't the Clintons. Everybody thinks that. It's not true. It was the Bushes. He goes after the Bushes and then he goes after the Clintons. And it's to go beyond surface level, and it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about tonight. But you have to understand the power infrastructure that he took on in this country that's represented the Bushes and the oil money and the military industrial complex, the Clintons and their New York finance and the Northeastern, the old money, the blue blood money. He took on all of that and all of those systems, and he showed he could win. And that's why, by the way, and just before we go to the next clip, I think it bears a lot of importance. This, I think it was a PBS Marist poll that came out today, but it was taken last week. And it said 67% of voters say a guilty verdict in this case would not affect their vote, with 15% of respondents saying they would even be more likely to vote for Trump if he's convicted. 17% said they'd be less likely. So you've got a real situation here where you can see it's galvanizing support among a certain amount of people. And for another amount of people, it isn't really having any net effect on the election to begin with. And that's because, Charlie, quite frankly, I think going into this, people assumed Trump would be found guilty for different reasons, right? The liberals assumed he would be found guilty because they always think he's guilty.
It was baked
in. And conservatives saw it as the show trial. You're not going to see a big difference.
Andrew, I want to throw to you in a sec, but one sec. This is very important that Donald Trump got more popular as the trial went on. This was baked in. This is New York. This wasn't a trial in New Orleans. This wasn't a trial in Jackson, Mississippi. This is New York City, one of the most liberal cities on the planet. So let's be very clear about this. This was baked in. And so I want to ask two things very quickly. And I want to ask the audience this, freedom@charliekirk.com. You can email me directly. If they start to see that Donald Trump gets more popular after this, what are they going to do next? Well, Newt Gingrich alluded yesterday that they're going to go to dramatic measures. And I've said this before, that it's troubling to me that this regime has their back up against the wall. Why? You're about to see the most desperate measures of a ruling class that we have seen in our lifetime. Because if this lawfare doesn't work and he raises more money and he gets more popular, play cut 166.
How minuscule his crowd was in Philly today? It's like nobody wants to show up.
Well, look, you think the average American is stupid? I mean, you look at this doddering guy who clearly is only half the time in charge of what he's doing. You look at his vice president, who may be cognitively fine, but she's just goofy. And you say to yourself, what is it I'm supposed to get excited by? And then you look at Bidenflation, which is every American experiences every day, every time you go to the grocery store, every American. So I don't care how many ads the Biden team runs. They have trying to convince the rest of us that the things aren't as bad as we know they are because we're feeling in our pocketbooks. If you're a Democrat and you have to go to your base this hard, you are really on the edge of collapse. If you were a comparable deal would be if a Republican had to try to shore up West Virginia. And I think what you're going to see in the next few months and it really worries me, frankly, that you're going to see a desperation when they come to realize nothing they're doing is going to work. And they're confronted with the likelihood that Trump's not just going to win. He's going to win big. He's going to take in the Senate and the House. And I think all of us ought to keep Donald Trump in our prayers, because I think these people are desperate and I think they're dangerous.
I don't disagree. Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich.
Desperate and dangerous. What are they going to try next? In some ways, you almost want this election to be looking closer than not than it is, because they might try something dramatic. Andrew, there is an outpouring of support right now. I want to go through this. There, Sean McGuire donated $300,000 to the Trump campaign. Lee Zeldin just secured an $800,000 donation for Trump's joint fundraising committee. Tim Pool, I have just donated the maximum to Donald Trump. Tucker Carlson says, import the third world, become the third world. We just saw this won't stop Trump. He'll win the election if they don't kill him first, and they're going to try. Megyn Kelly, guilty on all counts, the country should be disgraced. Scott Adams, I just donated to Trump. The donation page crashed, by the way, crashed multiple times. Tristan Tate, Trump donation page, quote, a question mark link. Pierce Morgan, Trump's donation websites are crashing. My guess is the verdict will propel him back into the White House. And also, we talked about this, Andrew. We had a great day with our ballot chasing program today. Talk about this.
Yeah, so add this to the list. Jack Posobiec announced on this show he max donated. And then after this list that you just read, Tristan Tate has now announced that he has donated $200,000 to the campaign. And breaking right here on this show, Turning Point Action's Ballot Chase Initiative. And remind you, we are working directly in coordination with the Trump campaign. That's a new FEC rule and regulation. Charlie, I don't want to get over my skis there. But it's an extension.
We're allowed to work in harmony on doors and canvassing. That's what the law says. Yeah.
So those coordination efforts, right? Three states, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, we're hiring hundreds of full-time staff chasing tons and tons of ballots, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. In those states could be determined. It's a huge, huge undertaking. We have today, after the verdict, over $1 million raised. Charlie, this is definitely your wheelhouse here. I mean, I venture to guess you've never had it like at least this easy, this direct, this unsolicited at Turning Point in the history of the organization. Massive momentum.
No, and it's people that the incoming is absolutely unbelievable, of people that are traditionally center right moderate donors asking, where do I donate? How do I donate? Where do I donate? In fact, we had a billionaire that we asked for money a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't know. I'm not on the Trump thing. He just contacted one of our team members. He said, so how do I make a contribution to Turning Point Action? Happened literally this afternoon. I'm still getting people are saying, Charlie, can you call me? Charlie, can you call me? I mean, my entire day tomorrow is hosting the show. All afternoon is going to be raising capital. And by the way, we are going to have hundreds of full-time ballot chases. We already have a huge amount here in Arizona, and we're hiring it up in Wisconsin, expanding into Michigan. And this is why we did the work for the entire year to scale up, to get ready for this. And this, I cannot emphasize this enough, and I know we're going to say goodbye to Real America's Voice in just a second here. Take this as conviction to go work. Do something about it. Get involved in your local GOP. Show up at our Turning Point Action event, because Donald Trump, it's not about Trump. He is the champion of our movement, our populist, nationalist movement of disparate, different backgrounds, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, to consolidate it together to take back this great country. So tpaction.com, that is tpaction.com. If you guys want to get tickets to that, get involved in the grassroots, keep on fighting. It's more important than ever. This is the time. This is an opportunity. And what a message it would send to these people that tried so much to try to quiet you and silence you and shut up Trump to win in November. And victory is possible. Victory is possible. And a legacy to leave your children and to defeat these savage maniacs. Do something about it. Blake, you have a thought.
Well, Charlie, that was all an inspiring speech. That was all. I'm sure a lot of people liked it. But have you considered this message? This was just posted by Ambassador John Bolton, formerly of the Trump administration. Today's verdict is a fire bell in the night. The Republican Party now has one last chance to change course and not nominate a convicted felon for president. I'm sure he was making that sound when he made that tweet.
Going to jail, John. He's going to jail, John. And I am going to personally shave your mustache. Correction, I'm going to personally handcuff you and lather you up with shaving cream and shave it with a straight razor.
I endorse.
It's just unbelievable. These weirdos. Well,
I mean, you know what J.D. Vance said in response? He said, John Bolton has finally found a war that he doesn't want to engage in.
Exactly.
That's so good.
Retreat! Run away!
It's not a war. It's not a war overseas. It's a war that actually affects American people.
No, of course. So that's it's why actually, I mean, John Bolton has total contempt for the American people. Look, you have to understand, neocons are Trotskyites that want to bring transformational Marxist ideas via missiles and via regime change because they have deeply troubled personal lives. These are maniacs. These are really perverse and sick people. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that have destroyed this country through neoconservative type ideas and policies. And that, remember, Donald Trump was kind of a laughingstock until he went after Bush. I want to play this. I think it's important. Hey, Ryan, do we still have that piece of tape here that we cut earlier? I think we did with Dave Smith. I think this is very, very important to go back in history because the Bush Junta, John L. Ellis Bush, from George H.W. Bush when he was alive to George W. Bush, they are now working in tandem with the ruling class regime, and they are applauding what is happening here. It's cut 142 that we had on radio earlier today. This was when the game changed. When Donald Trump did this, he went from a laughingstock to kind of like a guy leading in the polls to all of a sudden an existential threat to the status quo of the Kingdom of Washington, D.C. This was the clip that changed everything. It happened in South Carolina, play cut 142.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? Now, you can take it any way you want, and it took Jeb Bush, if you remember, at the beginning of his announcement, when he announced for president, took him 5 days. He went back. It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say, and he ultimately said it was a mistake. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty.
And he went on to even say that George Bush might have also been responsible for 9/11. Andrew, talk about this. This was the original sin of Donald Trump, not him running. As soon as he went after the Bush family and humiliated them and called out the neo-colonialist internationalist project of invade the world, invite the world, Donald Trump went from a comedy to a threat. And today is just yet another chapter in their attempted eradication. Liz Cheney, January 6th committee, George W. Bush with all of his cronies, John Bolton. His crime is disagreeing with them and calling out their foreign policy war crimes. Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a before and after moment. It was dogma within the conservative side of the aisle to defend our actions in Iraq until he went on that stage and said the unsayable. And yeah, I mean, I think he's had a target on his back ever since. People need to understand how much money is going through the military-industrial complex. Think about this, Charlie. This is the one tell, right? So we end the war in Afghanistan. Total humiliation. Joe Biden botched the thing from start to finish. And really, Donald Trump was the one that set up the ability to leave. And then Joe Biden botched it. And Joe Biden did it on 9/11. He thought it was going to be a big PR win, a big political boost. It was anything but. His poll numbers have never recovered. But guess what happened? As soon as we did that, we found another forever war to finance indefinitely. Another endless quagmire in a far, far away land. Why? Because the military-industrial contractors needed the money to keep going. And so, you mentioned J.D. Vance. You mentioned J.D. Vance. You know, he's sounding the alarm that we can't even keep up with it. You know, with the demand that's going out the door. All this says is that the supply and demand will continue funneling money into the pockets of the oligarchy that is desperate for more war.
Yes, and I want to throw it to Jack really quick, but this is very important that, again, the high crime you can commit against the ruling class is challenge their war crimes. And today, their conviction, why are they so afraid that Trump might not be president? There were no new wars. He might end the Russian-Ukraine war. He might bring stability to the Middle East because he did it in the first term. J. Jack Posobiec.
So there's a story that's totally going to get overshadowed today, and it interesting timing. You know, what can I say? Just very interesting timing. Also, the fact that the Supreme Court's immunity ruling is coming down pretty soon that we hear. Just very interesting timing all around. The story that we shouldn't overlook, and the fact that we're talking about the very subject, is that even the New York Times reported this morning that the Biden administration has now authorized Ukraine to use American weapons to conduct strikes on the territory of Russia. So that doesn't mean these areas that they're currently fighting over. It doesn't mean areas where they're, you know, where they're have this dispute over, you know, was it annexed? Is it Russian or is it Ukraine? But Russia proper will now be attacked by U.S. missiles, US, potentially U.S. drones, other materiel that the United States has supplied. And they specifically been talking about these early warning radars. They're going to be attacking Russia proper. So the question is, how is the Kremlin going to respond to something like that? They're bringing us to brinksmanship right now, today, and potentially being willing to actually escalate this proxy war that we're in into an actual hot war, all with the reason being that they know Donald Trump is coming back, and they desperately don't want to stop what Andrew was just saying, the gravy train that they have going on. Possibly they would be willing to actually even start a wider war with Russia, so that if Trump comes in, that, you know, suddenly then if he's calling for peace and calling for, you know, an end to the conflict, they'll say, oh, he's a traitor. This is all Russia's fault. He's against America, et cetera, et cetera. But we can see which side is escalating this at this point. We can see it. Biden to allow Ukraine to use U.S. weapons to strike inside Russia. Again, this is the largest nuclear power on the face of the planet. It is complete insanity. And we have let these people run. We essentially, look, Joe Biden isn't actually running our government. Our government, Joe Biden is the CEO, the docile, weak, effete, overaged CEO of an organization that's being completely run by the dependas in the HR department.
I want to play a piece of tape here. You guys can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is from CNN talking about this verdict is uniting Republicans like never before. This is thought crime. So we have to, Blake, do you want to narrate that little chart that I sent? Donate to Trump versus a certain Google chat chart. I think it's hilarious. So that one right here, the one I just sent. So Google Trends will track what is being Googled.
Google and, Trends.
Trends is meeting, it's beating like biology.
It beating that biology is one way of putting it. You could also say it's beating, if you catch my the pun there. Yeah, so normally boobs is a popular search term on Google. People like to look up chesticles on the internet. And so you can see if you look at the chart on the screen, the red line is boobs, popular search term, rises during the day, falls during the evening. And so it had a pretty good day on the 29th and early this morning. But today, donate to Trump rocketed past this extremely popular search term. More than, looks like it about tripled it in popularity at its peak, and it's fallen off. They're about even right now. What can I say? It is a popular search term. But it very much upset the internet. A lot of people wanted to donate to Trump after today's events.
And he's beating the natural design, beating biology, you could say. Mm-hmm. So look, this is very important. And by the way, we're getting tons of emails of people that are emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. Go to tpaction.com/peoples. If you guys want to join us in Detroit, Michigan, that is tpaction.com/peoples. It is going to matter more than ever what we do with our agency, how we act, and what we're able to, the difference we're able to make in the states we live in. Let's play cut 169.
Well, if my phone and the text messages I'm receiving are any indication, every Republican in the country is madder than a wet hen. I mean, people who are decidedly non-MAGA, not Trump fans, are blowing up tonight saying this case never should have been brought. This is ridiculous charges. It was egregious use of the criminal justice system. And I mean, I'm hearing people say I had no intention of voting for Donald Trump, and now I am. And then if you ask the Trump campaign what's happening, you know, they literally broke their online donation portal because people were rushing to the internet to give them money in the minutes after the verdict. So I think there's a real chance here This is going to massively backfire on the Democrats and help Donald Trump.
I want to read this this email that we received from an immigrant from Eastern Europe. As a young child, just 6 years old, I vividly remember the joy and love my parents expressed about living in America. Remember the pride we took in becoming an American citizen. I remember the day I signed my name on the papers. America was a beacon and was so good to us. A hope and example for the rest of the world. Maybe when you're born here, you take it for granted. But when you work so hard through the legal system for a visa, a green card, eventually citizenship, it's something you don't forget. You treasure it and it's deeply personal. So what does a day like this feel like? How does an immigrant feel? Well, it's all the more crushing. The land that you love, with all that's in you, it hurts so much more. This is bigger than politics and presidents. It means the land you love is no longer the refuge from the land that you left. When you quite literally leave everything behind except a suitcase because you believe that America would never fall the levels of your former home did, it's soul crushing. It's raw and it's real agony. The more we love, the more we hurt. Immigrants hurt more for America more because our love runs deep and we know what's on the other side. We've lived it and we've seen it. And today we hurt hard because we know what's coming. Today we mourn and tomorrow we fight. TPAction.com. Andrew, what are we seeing here? What is the general reaction? This is not the vibe shift that the Democrats would have expected. I do not see joyous celebration unless I see in the fringes of the Democrat circles. This seems to be like bipartisan. This seems to be across the board. I want to say bipartisan, but at least with independents, this is not going well for the Democrats. Andrew. I can't hear Andrew right now. Andrew, you're muted for whatever reason.
Charlie, sorry about that. Ahead. This is, if the National Review is any indication, Rich Lowry, who is the editor of the National Review, famous anti-Trump, never Trump website, they famously had that one cover with all the names of conservative influencers that some people on this show will never forgive or forget. In 2016, he's got it up on the top of the website. Yes, it was rigged by Rich Lowry. And it's basically saying this trial was rigged from start to finish. And it was rigged to rig an election, all by Rich Lowry. This is, to put it mildly, you don't see pro-Trump anything on this website. Even the National Review, who are the most moderate of voices, and they like to consider themselves the smart kids, the cool kids, and they, you know, immune from the MAGA cult, if you will. They think this is a travesty of justice. So I think when we talk about how this is uniting the right, you've got the Nikki Haley wing that is uniting with the far right MAGA, whatever you want to call them, the MAGA extremists. Obviously, I use those terms in jest, but that's what's happening right now. Everybody's on the same page except for like Meghan McCain and John Bolton. That's all I've seen. That literally the two voices that you would consider right leaning that are happy today. Everybody else is really sad for the country.
So Blake, really quick, people are asking questions on logistics of sentencing. So walk us through the details here, Blake. July 11th sentencing right before the RNC, where we're going to be in Milwaukee for that. We're going to be there the whole week. Walk us through the logistics of sentencing. Could Donald Trump end up in a prison cell before the election? What are the details here? Let's try to not speculate. Just lay out the facts because the audience is asking. Lay it all out for us.
Okay. Well, so as you say, they've set the hearing for sentencing on July 11th. That's just before the RNC. Now, that is the date set by the judge. I suppose in theory, he could be petitioned to move it a little bit one way or the other. What Donald Trump was convicted of is a felony. So the amount of time he could be sentenced to, off the top of my head, I want to say it's 1 to 4 years. It might be 1 to 5. It's not really over 5. In theory, I guess he could be like given a separate sentence for each of these. That would be unfathomably insane, I think. It's much more along the lines of they would all be stacked concurrently because they're all for the same thing. He would appeal. I assume Trump would appeal this. It would be pretty reasonable that they would stay the actual incarceration pending the appeal. That would be common for a case like this. Now, nothing is absolute. It's possible the judge could try to throw him in jail sooner. It's possible the prosecution could argue that this should happen. in theory, it's even possible they could order him to be incarcerated pending the actual sentencing. That is all possible. Currently, it hasn't happened, and I highly doubt they would do this. I think they would sense that this would blow up in their face. So I guess a way of putting this is it is a bit uncertain what they will actually try to do. My guess is they will make the calculation. They should not push their luck and try to aggressively put him in jail as soon as possible. And if it follows a normal course, appeals wouldn't be decided until after the election.
Got it. That's super helpful. Subscribe to our podcast here, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And I want to welcome back. I think we now are on Real America's Voice, if I'm not mistaken. We are now merged with Real America's Voice. Hello, everybody, again, as we transition back in. This is a historic day. This is an attempted legal and judicial assassination, and it's you that they are going after. It is you. It is the everyday American that they are going after. And it's because your value system is a threat to the kingdom. They do not want the commoner, the everyday American, to have a voice. They do not want you to have a seat at the table. And Trump brings you into the room. And they have been relentlessly going after us. It is a dark day, but it's what we do with today that will actually matter. What we do with today will matter, and it's going to use our agency and our purpose. And so make sure you guys join us in Detroit, Michigan. Joining us now is Steve Bannon. Steve, thank you for joining our program here. We're also going live on Real America's Voice. Steve, your reaction to this historic day?
Well, it's much like yours, Charlie. We've got to get very focused. This is only going to be won by the Trump base. We've got a lot of work to do, and people should just channel their anger and some despair. If they got despair, just get focused. We have this to overcome, but we also are going to be inundated by the donor class and the rhinos and the neocons and the neoliberals. You already see it on Twitter. You already see donors talking about, trying to foist somebody on the ticket here and trying to not let Trump be Trump. So it's a testing moment. I actually think it's going to be very positive. I think people see what a kangaroo court this is and what a show trial this is. So I expect very good things out of our audience and our people. And I think it's tonight, immerse yourself in Michael Cohen, taking a victory lap on MSNBC and being held up as an American hero. And you should embrace that and immerse yourself in it. And then let's go to work tomorrow morning.
Going to work is the most important thing, and understanding why they hate him. And Steve, you are the best at this. What is Donald Trump's true crime? It's not some documents thing. No, Donald Trump is a class traitor. Donald Trump is an ideological traitor because he challenged, as you would say, the easy money regime, the internationalist adventurous wars. So, Steve, what is Donald Trump's actual crime here? It's not documents. What is it?
No, he's a class traitor of the neoliberal neocons and the progressive left, the globalist in New York City and Manhattan, that he went in first as a guy from Queens and upended the apple cart about how he actually get buildings made. And then as a media figure and a guy who came back from some pretty tough times in the real estate market. And then he became a class traitor. He was an insider. They all said when he first started running, this was all to get a better deal on The Apprentice. You remember back then, Charlie, we were getting beat up every day for being Trump supporters. And here we are. He's a class traitor. He has allowed working class people. He has allowed the people at Wildwood, New Jersey, on the Bodega Run in South Bronx, when he went to the Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600. He's allowed those four groups to come together and actually be in the room and take control of this country once again. He's a traitor to those people, and he must be destroyed. He must be destroyed. The movement around him must be destroyed. So, hey, for me, I think it's great. It's a time for testing. Here's what I know. We cannot lose if we don't quit. If we keep grinding and grinding and grinding, they can't beat us. And right now you see, and I think the lawyer you just had on is terrific, they're going to try to throw Trump in jail for a couple of years. They obviously set the sentencing for right before the Republican convention. You can already see the John Boltons of the world and a lot of the donors and a lot of the rhinos, already they're trying to force the big event here is going to be trying to force Nikki Haley on the ticket as his prime minister and saying they're going to need the stability of Nikki Haley. So we got a lot of fights. And tomorrow morning, I think people got to be very focused and just grind this. This is going to be voter registration. This is going to be, you know, all the ballot chasing you're talking about, Charlie, all the get out the vote, people signing up as election judges, election officials. We're going to grind this one out. But you look at the polls, I think more of the nation is going to come to our side. But you have to be a force multiplier to explain exactly what went on here and why they need to take Trump down. I actually think it's a very sad day for America, but in one regard, it's a very good day. It's like the 2020 steal. It puts everything on the table, and everything's very clear now. There's no middle ground here. It's either our way to save this constitutional republic and hand on to future generations what was bequeathed to us, or are you going to live in a neo-Marxist, Stalinist type of country? You see how they roll, and it can't be clearer. So I think in regards, it's actually good because it clarifies.
It clarifies. I want to throw to Jack here, by the way, in the audience. Join Steve Bannon. Join Donald Trump. Join Ben Carson. Join the biggest people in the movement in Detroit, Michigan, 2 weeks from now, tpaction.com/peoples. We're doing all of our shows. Steve is doing his show. We're doing our show. A show of force for Donald Trump. Show up in major numbers here. Jack, you have some thoughts.
Yes, yeah, Steve, you know, when we put together this book on a communist revolution, people said, why are you putting together something like this? And I said, because that's what we're living through. And there were times where people, you know, even pushed back on that. And then all of a sudden, I've experienced this. Charlie's experienced this so far in the last 24 hours or so. And I wanted to see if you'd experienced this as well, that a lot of the GOP consultant class types and the fundraiser types and the Hill apparatchik types are texting me saying, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that this happened. I'm so stunned. I never believed they would actually find him guilty. Steve, why are there so many people in the professional Republican class that didn't see this coming?
Because they're not engaged. They're not engaged at all. They're at a very superficial level. When you control opposition, you don't have to be down in the trenches. Anybody that spent a second on this knew this day was coming. And they knew there were going to be 34 charges, and they knew exactly how they were going to spin it. They knew how Rachel Maddow was going to do it. They knew how Andrew Weissman was going to do it. They knew how Tish James was going to do it. All the way from Jamie Raskin to Arizona to Michigan to Georgia, to what's happening in South Florida, to what's happening on the Supreme Court now. If you're in this fight, it's very obvious what happened. It's also obvious how we get out of here. The people that text you today, I can't believe this happened, they don't matter. All they are is a bunch of hangers-on, okay? All they are is hangers-on. They're not in this fight with any passion. They're not in this fight with any courage. They're not in this fight with any spirit or any soul. And to hell with them. All they're going to do now is run around and whine and cry and say, you need the Nikki Haley's word. We don't need any of those people. They're not going to have an option not to vote for Trump, because they're not going to vote for, to vote for the other side means they wouldn't get a job at all. If the Republican Party listens up here, we got a way to victory. And that way to victory is pure MAGA. This is going to take a fight, and only MAGA fights. Only MAGA's got the guts, the backbone, right? The BDE to get this done. And right now it's going to be a time of testing. And these rhinos are saying, get out of the way, hold our beer, let us get it done. Because I'm going to tell you, their pressure to basically de-Trumpify the second term, to get more consultants around him, to get more pollsters around him, to let the McCarthys come back, and to get Nikki Haley on the ticket as prime minister, is going to be overwhelming. That's why I think the People's Convention next week, it will be historic, just given the timing, because there's going to be a ton of throwdowns there. Right now, we got to fight against the neoliberal neocons, as we also have to go against these globalist elitists that are trying to steal our country. And look, it's a fight I like. I look at the math. I like who's on our side of the football. And I know we can win. If we don't quit, we're going to win.
That's exactly right. So Jack, just really quick, I just want to reiterate, and then I'll throw it to Jack. Get your tickets to the People's Convention, tpaction.com/peoples. Back to you, Jack.
Steve, what do you think the next move should Trump should be? Should he lay low? Should he do another rally? We know there's this press conference tomorrow, but there's a couple of weeks between now and the People's Convention. What do you think his next move should be from a political campaign standpoint?
I think he's got to go out. I would like to have seen a press conference tonight, but he's going to do it tomorrow at 11 o'clock while he's covering that live. I think he's got to come out, make his case, and say that he is more focused than ever. Talk about what Charlie just talked about, the political assassination, why this is a persecution. Make that case. And then I think before a rally, I think he's got to sit down with his campaign and the RNC. I'll be brutally frank. I don't see a campaign. I don't see a campaign in the States. I really don't see a campaign in the campaign. What I see is people like Gavin Wax and Vish Bura coming up with these amazing events in the New York City area. What do you think? I think he has to do is what is RNC? He has to have a very serious strategy meeting. And I think it ought to be tomorrow afternoon, right? And say, okay, exactly. Walk me through in detail where we stand at the state levels. And I want to know where we stand on voter registration. I want to know where we stand on get out the vote. I want to know where we stand with ballot chasing. I want to know what specifically district by district, these 25 major districts, where do we stand with their mail-in ballots? Where do we stand with election officials? Where do we stand with lawsuits? Where do we stand with all this? And it ought to be the RNC and his campaign. It's time to get focused now. I mean, we have to be maniacally focused. There is not a minute to waste between now and then. He does that. And then I think you do some rallies, but I also think you ought to do some town halls, right? And I don't think we need to have a lot of people in the streets. I don't think, you know, people call me at night. We should ought to have bus tours. That stuff's fine. People are motivated enough. And if they're not motivated by this, they're not going to be motivated. We need serious people. What you guys have been doing at Turning Point USA, and I hope we hash this out next week at the People's Convention. That's why I think it's so timely and the workshops are timely. It is now whoever works the hardest, whoever is the most focused, whoever is relentless and will not give up is who's going to win in November. And right now, I think we have the passionate people. I know my phone's blowing up from people that want to volunteer, that people want to get to work. It's not about writing checks. The money is not going to win this. Elbow grease and manpower and spirit's going to win it. So I think we just get channel all that energy, channel all that anxiety, channel all that despair, and just channel it into work, work, work. If we don't quit, we use our agency and we're action, 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 we're going to win this thing.
Final thoughts here, Steve. I this is an unusual question, but I think it's important. I think this will be a net positive if we allow it to be one. What are major errors that could be done? The Uniparty trying to weaken our movement, infiltration. What? Give us a threat analysis here of things we should be looking out on the horizon of how we could fumble this, because this very well is trending as if it's going to be a positive. Final thought, Steve.
It could be very much. Number one, for ourselves, for MAGA, for the posse, for the deplorables. Don't get off key. This is all still. We knew this day was coming. What Jack Posobiec said. This does not surprise us. We are not shocked. We are not sitting there in the fetal position or sucking on a thumb. We knew this was going to happen. They got three things. They have lawfare, they have the big steal, and they have wag the dog. That's the three. They can't win any other way. They can't win in any legitimate process, okay? So they have to have an illegitimate process. That's what they'll do. It's either lawfare, it's the steal, or wag. They have some sort of October surprise or you know, wag the dog. If we are relentless in all three of those verticals of not letting it happen, they can't beat us. Now, unfortunately, we do have a problem, a specter, and that's the neoliberal neocons that President Trump just defeated, right? And they are going to come back. You know, Nikki, there's no coincidences. Nikki Haley wasn't in Israel the last couple of days signing bombs, right, to drop on Hamas. And her visit was like a state visit, okay? The timing of that from them was impeccable. Also, the day in Axios, you look, but they have six or seven billionaires are now signing up. All these billionaires are all of a sudden in love with Trump. Well, what they're really in love with, they're really going to be in love with getting a neoliberal neocon on the ticket as his VP, saying you need to do that to bring people together. And that is, and she is going to try to be the prime minister of the second term. So we have to be on guard with that and say that's not going to happen. It will not happen. She is unacceptable in every aspect, and every neoliberal neocon is also, and we need full MAGA on that ticket. So those are the two things, and just channel your energy and don't chase rabbits. Right now, we need maniacal focus, and that focus is on blocking and tackling. No 30-second spot, no TV buy, no magical kind of internet, apparatus or internet content is going, no memes, right, are going to change this. This is going to be back to basics. This is going to get at your base and also bring all those people that right now are just going through their own beginning of their great awakening. And that is nothing but old fashioned, get out the vote, chase ballots, make sure we have election officials there, get in everybody's face about these mail-in ballots, make sure everybody's on top of it, and the lawyers get lawyers signed up. And finally, let's stop kidding ourselves. Look at these states. Look at Arizona. Look at Nevada. Look at Georgia. Look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. What is going on? Who's responsible? What's going to happen? We don't need thousands of rallies. What we need now is good old-fashioned work. If we do not quit and we execute on that, and we can execute on it, we're going to win, and we're going to win big.
Steve, thank you for – I know you got to run here, and you got a big show tomorrow on War Room, and we're going to be doing this People's Convention here, and it requires public displays of support and using our agency. This is one of the most important things happening in the country right now, and that's why we're rallying in downtown Detroit. And, Steve, we want Detroit to be Bronx 2.0, where we have a ton of Blacks and Hispanics that are coming to the event, Black patriots and Black Americans that are coming. It's going to be really great, Steve. So thanks for your leadership, Steve, and thanks for your time. Well, see you tomorrow.
The timing couldn't be more perfect. If we use the People's Convention as a springboard, then we're going to win this, and we got to use it as a springboard. So, Charlie, thank you and all the team for setting it up. I'll see you guys tomorrow, and I'll pass the baton off to you guys at noon. Jack, you at 2, and we're back at 5. See you guys tomorrow.
Love it. Thanks, Steve. And I just want to reiterate that it is the People's Convention. This is the rallying point over the summer that is going to launch us into the election. Andrew and Blake, you guys didn't get a chance to chime in there. Thoughts, either one of you?
No, I want to just mention the springboard. Steve said it's going to be a springboard. You know, yeah, there's going to be A-plus list speakers there, right? You're going to have all the biggest names in the movement, but the people are going to be really blown away if you go to this event, that there are going to be massive coalition buildings, volunteer opportunities, precinct strategy. You're going to have a chance to get plugged in there and then get a full-time job. If you live in the territories where we're chasing ballots in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona, you could have a full-time job saving the Republic. So get off the couch, get to Detroit, especially if you live in that blue wall, get to Detroit. There's going to be action, 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 action. Everything. Charlie, I've never seen an event from Turning Point, whether that's USA or Turning Point Action, where so much time has been devoted to the breakout sessions. It's incredible. And you're going to be meeting all the orgs on the ground. We're partnering with everybody. And then, like I said, get a full-time job saving the Republic. Couldn't be any better.
Yeah, it's almost worth playing this again. And I think we're still on Real America's Voice here. Just really quick, just play in the trailer to guys get you tickets. Right now, tpaction.com. That's tpaction.com. Get your tickets. Let's just play cut one.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump, Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr., Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Tulsi Gabbard, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Ben Johnson, Jack Posobiec, Lee Zeldin, Congressman E.R. Craig, Brandon Tatum, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
And there might be some rallies between then and there. This is the first, Blake, I think this will be the first major event post-Trump conviction. Again, there might be a rally or two, but we're coming to like the first major event where we could have almost unlimited capacity here. Not unlimited, but we can really get big if we have the space. It's the Huntington Convention Center in downtown Detroit. Blake, this is pretty big.
I think it'll be a great opportunity for it, if there's coverage of it for the press, for the Democratic Party for that matter, to look and they'll turn to each other and think, did we screw this one up, guys? Did we mess it up? Have we unleashed something we did not anticipate? And I think it's feeling that way. I think the reaction today is very telling. We've now, if people haven't seen it, Elon Musk is tweeting about this and how ominous this is. Bill Ackman, a lot of these Silicon Valley Donor figures who've been warming up to Trump this cycle compared to past cycles, they're very strongly on his side today. And I think we're going to see that energy grow. There's a strong sense of momentum. There's more and more energy attaching to this as it goes on. And it's like Biden and the Democrats, they keep digging themselves deeper because they're just shocked the tactics they've relied on are not working anymore. Their ability to delegitimize people by using the system against them is breaking down. Instead, they are delegitimizing the system itself. As we've said a few times, Donald Trump wasn't convicted today. It was really the New York justice system that was convicted. And I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, there's more that Republicans can do in response to this. And I had this thought after they broke up, you know, after that civil conviction against Trump on bizarre charges, which a ton of businessmen were saying, this is nonsense. And you even had New York trying to reassure businesses, please don't flee our state. We're only going to do this to Trump. We won't do it to the rest of you. Well, now we see this with their criminal system. So what if Republican states just started coming out and saying, actually, New York verdicts, we don't respect New York court decisions in this state because they're extra constitutional. They're a rogue state where we don't respect their rulings. And an interesting way that might come into play, by the way, Florida doesn't allow convicted felons to vote right now. So there might be a twist where they'll try to say that Donald Trump can't vote for himself. It could be interesting for Florida to come in and say, actually, at least in this case, we don't consider New York's felony conviction to be valid.
Blake, speaking of Florida, Ron DeSantis tweeted something I think that was pretty amazing. We have the tweet up if we could. It's longer, but it's like so pitch perfect. 5 million views, 111,000 likes. It says today's verdict represents the culmination of a legal process that has been bent to the political will of the actors involved. A leftist prosecutor, a partisan judge, and a jury reflective of one of the most liberal enclaves in America, all in an effort to get Donald Trump. That this case involving alleged misdemeanor business records violations from nearly a decade ago was even brought is a testament to the political debasement of the justice system in places like New York City. This is especially true considering the same district attorney routinely excuses criminal conduct in a way that has endangered law-abiding citizens in his jurisdiction. It is often said that no one is above the law, but it is also true that no one is below the law. If the defendant were not Donald Trump, this case would have never been brought, the judge would have never issued similar rulings, and the jury would have never returned a guilty verdict. In America, the rule of law should be applied in a dispassionate, even-handed manner, not become captive to the political agenda of some kangaroo court. That's Ron DeSantis, formerly bitter enemy of Donald Trump, with one of the most viral, you know, tweets on social media today defending the president.
Can I just say, this is what Please. He should have tweeted when the charges were dropped in the first place.
Yes.
This was a very separate, very different tune than we're hearing from the Gov. Then when the charges were put out, he made a crack mocking Trump about Stormy Daniels when it happened. And I think that was an inflection point in the campaign, in the primary, where people all of a sudden were saying, wait a minute, it seems like you're just not doing the things that we thought you were going to be doing. So look, he's come around to seeing things the right way. I wish he'd been there back when it first happened, and it's good to see him there now.
Yeah, and look, we need a consolidation, and that is what we're starting to see here, is a consolidation of different forces. I want to play a piece of tape here. We have quite a lot that we haven't gotten to yet. Email us, as always, by the way, freedom@charliekirk.com. But this is the energy I think we need. Play cut 172.
All the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Jack Posobiec.
Yeah, I mean, that's the energy of Andrew Breitbart. That's the Andrew of Steve Bannon. That's the Andrew of I had a conversation with Mike Davis, attorney Mike Davis, just off air today, just kind of called him in between hits, in between shows. And Davis has this thing called the dead chicken theory, which he says that he got from Clarence Thomas. And the dead chicken theory is interesting. So he says Clarence Thomas told him once,
when he was working for him, that the dead chicken theory goes like this, that when you're training farm dogs to protect chickens, now early on, by the way, this story totally takes on a totally new vein because of the Christy Nome situation. But so when you're training farm dogs, one of the things you're supposed to do is when they accidentally kill a chicken, you then take that chicken's carcass and wrap it around their necks so that the chicken's body actually rots physically and literally rots around their necks. And eventually over time, once you do that a few times, they lose the taste for chicken, and then they eventually go into protecting chicken. And basically what he says, that's what we need to do to the left. That's how we need to treat them. And when it comes to lawfare, and when it comes to the stuff that they're doing to Trump, and when it comes to everything that they've done to us, to the J6ers, to Doug Mackey, Ricky Vaughn, to all of this, if there is no reciprocity, then they will continue to do these things. They will find anything they can on any of us. They'll be going through our taxes. They'll be going through our text messages. It doesn't matter whether it's lawsuits or actual criminal charges. They will find anything. They'll say, oh, look at this guy who donated to Turning Point USA and didn't fill out the paperwork. Boom, boom. And now we're going to go after Turning Point USA. Okay. Again, this will continue until it is stopped. This is a playbook. It's been around for 250 years. And until some people actually rise up and start turning the tables on them, and I don't mean, you know, the strongly worded letter conservatism. No, it's time for the dead chicken theory.
Blake, can we just remind the audience of how weak this legal case was? And I'm curious for your thoughts here, Blake. 34 counts in a day or two. We thought there'd be some jury pushback. It just seems as if the jury just said, I want nothing to do with this. I want this chapter of my life to be over with. Guilty.
Yeah. So first of all, yeah, 34 charges. They're all essentially the same thing. If you read the indictment, they're all for alleged falsification of records, and there's 34 different total instances of it. So it's not as surprising to me that they would just go through the whole thing. It is the sort of thing where you basically either go for all of it or none of it. But I do think this gets underplayed too much. I think people have fixated too much on the events of the trial, and they haven't taken the big picture, which is this case is insane. So what Trump was actually convicted of, and they would try to mess this up and obscure it in a lot of ways, but the specific legal attack on Trump was they said Donald Trump falsified business records in order to, and then there was an intermediary crime of in order to do this New York state law. Let me bring it up here. It has a funny name. It's New York Section 17-152, conspiracy to promote or prevent election, which is any two or more persons who conspire to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means shall be guilty to a misdemeanor. And so they did that where they're like, he obscured he falsified his records to commit a conspiracy to illegally promote his own election by fill in the blank. That is literally what it was. It was fill in the blank. There was some crime. They didn't charge him with one. So the prosecutor came out and they basically said, you know, you could just imagine whatever you want. Maybe he was covering up his taxes and that's a crime. Or maybe he was covering up some campaign finance violation, including a federal one. And that was where the thing came in, that it didn't have to be unanimous. The prosecution came out and said, you don't have to pick any specific crime that Donald Trump supposedly committed. And by the way, we're not charging him with any of these. But as long as you think he was probably doing some sort of crime, you can say that he falsified the records to cover this up. And this was really important because the entire case is built on this. Because originally, falsification of records by itself is a misdemeanor. It is a 2-year statute of limitations, and all this stuff is from 2016. So the only way they could charge him with this in 2023 was they had to make it a felony. To make it a felony, they had to say he was doing this to cover up a crime, another crime that was a felony. But we don't have any evidence to prosecute any of these, so we're just going to say, come up with one. And one of their arguments was he was breaking federal campaign finance law, which New York didn't charge him with. The federal government didn't charge him with it. The federal government didn't even fine him for it. The FEC didn't. And then while they're making all of these prejudicial statements against him, what the judge allows him to do is he allows the prosecution to come out and sort of give arguments like, you know, maybe this decided the 2016 election that he did this, which doesn't have any bearing on anything he supposedly did that was criminal, but the judge allowed him to say that. The judge didn't allow any, you know, an FEC commissioner to come in and say, this didn't violate the law. Their crime connection doesn't work here. It's absolutely insane. This law that he supposedly is conspiring to break, the conspiracy to promote or prevent election, it's basically never brought against anyone else in New York. Even though New York has more than its share of shady electoral behavior, it's New York, it's local politics in a big city. They never use this. They dug it up because they wanted to have a case against Trump, and they came up with the most convoluted theory they possibly could to justify going way past the statute of limitations, and then they brought it in Manhattan because it's a 90% Democrat jurisdiction, and they could get the most liberal jury imaginable, and then they blizzarded them with 55 pages of jury instructions, which under New York law, you're not allowed to have a printed copy of because some reason, and you don't have a transcript of any of the jury testimony. You have to ask them to read it to you for some reason. So they picked our dumbest, most corrupt state with the dumbest, most corrupt laws, came up with a case they would never bring against anyone else and have never brought against anyone else. And then they dumped it on Donald Trump and they got a conviction. Congratulations. It's disgusting.
It is repulsive here. And I want to take a step back and play this piece of tape here from Norm Eisen. He's a psychopath. Play cut 174.
This is the most serious falsifying business records case in the history of the state of New York. I think Alvin Bragg is going to ask for a sentence of incarceration. And I think Judge Mershon will very seriously weigh that.
So the special treatment you're saying would be if he were not given a prison sentence.
Right.
Did that guy fall out of an 80s movie? He's disgusting. He's literally physically disgusting to look at. That sneering rat face. Oh, my God.
Which, by the way, you know, people need to remember, if you go back to the Democracy Playbook and the Brookings Institute and everyone's favorite Time magazine article, which was published right after 2021, about the secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. Remember, they fortified the 2020 election. What name from the Transition Integrity Project was at the center of all of these things was Norm Eisen. Norm Eisen and Andrew Weissman are kind of like the brain trust of the left-wing operatives. And their names just keep kind of popping up in every single major campaign that you see them doing. And so you can just follow these guys and you can see exactly what they're up to. They don't really have that many of them. And don't tell me that like Alvin Bragg, that absolute idiot, could put something like this together or that anyone in the Biden administration could do it. No, they've got a couple of these guys and you see them on TV just bragging about it all the time, because that's essentially what they are. They are the brain trust of the left wing. And, you know, look, you know, guys here on the right, you know, we've got like obviously the Trump campaign, Trump himself, their family, and then just guys like us.
Look, we also have this amazing movement, though. And Andrew, I'm very inspired by the growing enthusiasm that we're seeing on the ground. I want to highlight just some of the work that Turning Point Action is doing. Noah Formica, who's one of our amazing activists, says, "My name is Noah Formica. I'm a Gen Z Republican living in Pennsylvania. So far this year, I've registered 790 voters. My goal is to register 1,000 by the end of the year. I'm going to do everything I can to get Donald Trump back in the White House and turn Pennsylvania red." And his tweet is doing very, very well. He's a Turning Point Action worker. And that is what it is going to require, is that grittiness. It is the work. It is difficult. It is not always necessarily rewarding, but boy, is it necessary. I want to play a piece of tape here, Andrew, and get your reaction. Very important here. Let me try to flip through here and find it. Let's see here. Let's go to, this is Donald Trump's first post on Truth Social, post being a technically a convicted felon. Play cut 165.
The final battle
With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Man, when he says expel the warmongers, I get a Chris Matthews thrill up my leg.
I just the only thing that would make that better.
Andrew, you're muted again.
The only thing I would just say to make that better is throw it up on Twitter. Get the OG Twitter account back. That would break the internet. Look, he did it when he got the mugshot. You've got all the reason in the world to bring it back today. Link to DonaldJTrump.com. People can sign up. People can donate. People can volunteer. This movement is the strongest movement in America. It's the strongest the MAGA movement has ever been. It's more galvanized, and people are more focused on action now than they ever have been. Use that Twitter account as the conduit between Trump directly and the people that it always was.
Andrew, you were going to say something.
No, I mean, you do this job day in and day out, you know, like everybody else on this show right now. And sometimes you get a little bit, you know, immune. You get a little bit numb to things like that video. And as you were playing, I hadn't seen it yet, actually. It riled up something really deep and just sort of instinctive. And yeah, man, I got really fired up watching that. And the tone was perfect. And Jack, you just said it. I think it's really clear to say it again. We need to say it again. This right now, in this moment, you know, May 30th, 2024, this is the strongest this movement has ever been, ever. And we've all been doing this since the jump. This is the strongest I have ever felt it right now in this moment. Despite the fact that he's a convicted felon. And yeah, like normies, I don't know how this is going to impact, you know, the normies that aren't even paying attention to the news. And that's something we gotta look out for. But, you know, this energy is going to continue filtering out if we keep messaging, we keep grinding, we keep going at it. So I'm
Andrew,
encouraged.
Can I just respond? Because I've been meaning to say the entire night. So when all this news broke, it was kind of surreal for me because we'd finished up the afternoon stuff and I had just taken my son and driven home to pick up my 6-year-old and he was at a little league game. And so 30 May, 2024, you're always going to remember where you were when this happened. And I was at a little league game with my son and his team and they were doing some others. They were, you know, they're playing the game. And Tanya showed up with her other son a little bit later and she was running an errand. And what was so interesting to me was that on my phone, it was lighting up. People were going nuts. The text messages were flying in. The calls were ringing off the hook. But all around me in kind of normie space, no one was talking about it. No one was focused on it. I don't think that most normies even, and I don't say that in a disparaging way. I mean, I love the people on the team and everyone at the school. But I just think that for average people that are outside of politics, this trial wasn't something that they were really following front of center because there's been so many Trump trials and so many Trump legal escapades over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of years at this point, escapades, and really going all the way back to his, you know, original divorce with Ivana all the way back in the early 90s. And so it's kind of priced in and it's just not something I actually actively started listening after this. Not a single person at the game even brought it up once.
Yeah.
No. And it's, but by the way, it's like, oh, okay, Trump's going to jail. And then I go to the grocery store and I can't feed my family. And Andrew, can you riff on this? The increase in grocery prices is no joke, like the slow bleed of the Democrat Party. Even people, I mean, like we're very blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed. We do fine financially. Praise God. And again, we can afford it, but it's noticeable. I mean, when you start to go and you have to feed a family of four and it's $700 for weekly groceries to eat like above average, you know, eat foods that aren't necessarily processed. Again, we can afford it. But for families that can't, I can't imagine just the rage. They care far more about being able to pay for their family, not go into debt to feed their family than Donald Trump's document case.
No, 100%. Actually, Jack, you'll remember when I texted you, I was like, dang it, this was my idea. So, you know, I think it was Scott Adams said it on his show and tweeted it out, you know, about.
Wait, I was literally just about to send this to you in the chat. I'm like halfway through typing it.
No, I was so mad because I remember saying it to Charlie. I was like, you know what the best like campaign idea that we need? We need Donald Trump going along with like a white woman, a black woman, a Hispanic woman, and like an Asian woman or whatever, like, you know, and going through just a normal grocery store. Go like pick middle America grocery store, urban American grocery store, and just go and try and buy eggs, milk, toilet paper. That right there is something that this trial will never reach to. That, I mean, it is not penetrating. I mean, I don't know if we have the clip, Ryan, but like there was a CNN clip where they were going through the polling data and they're just like, nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention to this. The only good that this can do is really to galvanize our side to get even more involved, to donate more, to volunteer more, to ballot chase more. But like I'm telling you, the pocketbook issues, time and time again, when they wonder why, yeah, exactly. This is great. Trump is guilty. Why can't I afford groceries? That's the perfect graphic right there for those listening and can't see it. But it's 100% true. Gas prices, grocery prices, and the cost of a new home. We talk about the youth vote. We talk about the minority vote. Why are both of those groups moving in Trump's favor and abandoning the Democrat coalition that got, you know, Barack Obama elected in such huge by huge margins? It's because young people cannot afford to buy a home. The cost of a home, average home price in America has doubled since Joe Biden has come into office. That right there is the whole ballgame. We talk about the three M's: marriage, mortgage, and mating. So making babies, getting married, and getting a mortgage. Those are three conservatizing life events that need to happen for the American dream to fully form in the next generation. We're cutting off our young people from that, and they're opting out. They know it. And then we've got, you know, just this massive economic burden on the backs of normal, everyday working Americans. And this is what's interesting. And Charlie, I'd actually love your input on this. If you look across the different cohorts, the one group that Donald Trump is performing worse with than he was in the last election is boomers. What gives and how do we fix it is the question.
Well, what gives is that boomers have actually generally, if you own property, you are substantially wealthier post-COVID. Now, that's not to say your purchasing power hasn't gone down, but if you own a home, and you started to pay, let's say you started to buy a home in, this is why it's so important. It's a generational thing, I understand. So I was born in 1993. A lot of boomers bought homes in the mid 1990s, which means their loan has matured. That means you're right at the sweet spot, right? So they are getting their deed and their home was worth, let's say, $700,000 in 2019. If it's in Scottsdale, it was worth $700 in 2019. It's now worth 1.3 or 1.4 million. And it's nearly doubled. And so, and they really haven't done anything. There's just more money in the system. They probably have a Roth IRA. Their stocks have gone up dramatically. They might have a little investment portfolio with Charles Schwab or Fidelity or TD Ameritrade that has gone up dramatically. And so the baby boomers, nothing necessarily against them, that's a separate topic for a different time, is they've actually had a financial windfall under Joe Biden. Now, some that don't own property are still struggling, own businesses, and your purchasing power of your dollar has deteriorated, but your assets have gone up, so they're not feeling the squeeze. But here's the best divide. If you could do a poll on this, poll Americans that own nothing and poll Americans that own assets, and which ones of those are happy with the economy or unhappy with the economy. Donald Trump is winning the renting vote in the country. Democrats traditionally have dominated the renting vote in this country. If you own nothing, you end up not being happy. And it is not even close to being in the realm of possibility right now. It creates economic anger. And Donald Trump is a vessel for that. Donald Trump is the pressure release valve because his entire candidacy is kind of a rebellion against the status quo. And so if you are getting poor because of the status quo, and then you see them indict him, all of a sudden, you want to then rebel against the status quo even more. Andrew, you have a question about that.
Yeah. So my question is, so if all of these currents are working against Joe Biden with everybody except for boomers, and boomers are like slightly weaker, this verdict tonight, if you talk like Main Street America, half the people are checked in, half the people are checked out. Guess what? Boomers are checked in. Does this verdict, so great against their idea and their ideal of what America was when they were growing up and through the 80s and the 90s, does this verdict so great against them, is Trump going to see a bounce back with boomers?
And is he going to maybe
back up to 2020?
So, look, I don't want to overly generalize. I could just say in my own circle, people that are baby boomers are outraged about this. I did an entire program in August of last year live from Vegas. And it was one of our best shows, Andrew, of 2023, one of our best rated shows, where I went through a dialogue, an argument, and not even a debate, an argument I had with one of our Turning Point USA donors. You remember the show, Andrew? Do you remember this? It was, yes, a road show, and I did a whole hour on this. And I was very blunt, as I am. And this guy was a military veteran, a good man, but he saw things differently. And he said, he stood up and asked a question, because I went through how Donald Trump was almost assuredly going to go to jail and get convicted, and they're going to try to throw him in jail unless he wins. And he said, Charlie, I've been around for quite some time. There is no way in this country that Donald Trump will ever be convicted by a jury of his peers, and he'll never go to jail. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, you're wrong. I don't know what country you think you're living in. It doesn't still exist. And he got somewhat nasty, saying, son, I am a military veteran. This country is still the greatest country ever, and we will never convict a former president.
I remember this happened.
No, I remember this. By the way, I have witnesses. It was at an event. I mean, it's not like I'm making this up. Mikey was there. No, a lot of people were there.
You were livid. You couldn't stop talking about it after the event.
Yeah, you.
Yes,
you
and, I was so fired up because it is so mass delusion.
Yeah.
And I'd love to chat. I'm going to find his phone number. I'm going to call him up actually tomorrow. Jack, you have a thought there?
Just send him the link, right? Just send him a link to the thing, and don't even say anything. Don't even say it. Just a link to a headline: Donald Trump guilty, 34 count.
And I'm trying to remember. I got to re-listen to that episode because it was part of his essence was it was so. No way this – it was almost as if, Charlie, you're telling me that Donald Trump's going to levitate on live television. Like, it was just like, there's no way I can see it happening. It's like the laws of America, the laws of nature and nature's God will not allow this to happen. And I somewhat sympathize with that because he did fight and serve the country, and he is so used to America having a certain behavioral pattern that all of a sudden – and by the way, Dan just messaged me, who was there. He remembers it. Dan says, LOL, I remember that. So I have witnesses. And we got in this huge argument. It was whatever. And I hate to say I was right because I know where this country is heading. I've studied Marxism. I know Marxists. I fight against them every single day. Blake, I want to ask your thought on something here, as I think we're going to have Rav come back at some point, I think. Blake, can you just give an analysis of how if you're being objective, which none of these historians are. Again, Ken Burns is out there saying crazy stuff. How objectively amazing and just objectively crazy it is that Donald Trump is able to overcome the justice stuff, January 6th. I think that is worth just a historical analysis, because if nothing else, it is unprecedented. That is unprecedented.
It really is. It does. Donald Trump is the guy who breaks all of the rules. One thing I get a kick out of is there was a book that came out. It came out a few years before Trump ran, and the name of the book was called "The Party Decides." And it's these political scientists, and they're trying to write about how the political process really works within parties. And what their thesis was the people who really decide who wins a presidential nomination are the party insiders. It's who wins the endorsement battle, who wins the funding battle, who wins the most with like the state level operatives who have a lot of influence. And they're the ones who really decide who gets nominated. So Mitt Romney was nominated in 2012, not because he had the most organic support among the Republican base, but because he won over Republican decision makers in the party. And then Donald Trump shows up in 2016 and just does a total drive-by shooting on this thesis, because Donald Trump is hated by the entire party establishment. They very loudly freak out about him. They reject him. Even after he's winning votes, they're talking about stealing the nomination from him at the convention. And it's just they can't stop him. He gets too many votes. He just steamrolls the whole process, gets the nomination. He follows none of the rules for how you're supposed to run for president with consultants, with, you know, all these carefully massaged rules about what you should say in public, what your ads should say, how you should message on issues, blows that all away, wings the entire thing, wins the election. That is certainly like nothing anyone has done since the modern TV era of politics began. And there's really nothing like it from before that era, too. The closest you'd get is maybe like William Jennings Bryan 130 years ago shows up at the Democrat convention, gives a barn burner of a speech, and they're like, that guy's great. And then they nominate him and he gets killed by William McKinley. So Trump's already beating out him. And then just the stuff they throw at him to stop him, that's also unprecedented. We have never had a major presidential candidate who's running as, you know, who's been charged with a crime, convicted of a crime. They are having to do stuff they have never done before to try to stop him. And they're proving unable to do it. The left is, they always would say Trump is a threat to our norms. But as we said earlier, the threat to our norms is the Democrats and what they are doing to try to stop Trump. They're the ones who are going to say, we're going to do this Latin America style thing where one of the candidates is charged with a crime or convicted of a crime. We're going to do all this shady stuff to try to pack the Supreme Court because they're too dangerous to us. And there really, as you look back, and there's just nothing, there's nothing like it. He is, it's a force of nature to behold.
I want to wrap here, guys, because we all have shows tomorrow and kind of go around the horn. But I want to just remind you guys, get your tickets right now to the People's Convention. Can you just throw up the People's Convention graphic, please? It's cut three. Just throw up the graphic up there. We have President Donald Trump. It's time to rally behind him. Vivek Ramaswamy, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump Jr., Candace Owens, Benny Johnson, Tulsi Gabbard, Byron Donalds, Kristi Noem, Laura Trump, Nigel Farage, Rick Scott, and more. So check it out right now. Donald Trump needs your support. tpaction.com/peoples. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Go around the horn one more time. Jack, let's start with you.
Look, since we're promoting, we'll be doing the book launch for Unhumans with Joshua Lysak, my co-author, at the People's Con. Obviously, we're there to support the movement. People want to check that out. It's unhumansbook.com. Look, we explain what we're going through. We explain what comes next, and we explain how to win. And so everyone who said that we were being very mean for calling these people unhumans, well, you were wrong. I will say this. As of today, the MAGA movement is now the 30 May movement. Pre-30 May, we were one country, and post-30 May, we are now a new country. And the 30 May movement is all about taking whatever words you want to use to describe the circumstances within which we find ourselves now and restoring the American Republic to its former greatness. That's what the 30 May movement's all about.
Amen. Blake, final thoughts here.
I just think about how remarkable it is that we've come to this point and how I just really think they're going to regret this, Charlie. I think Democrats are going to think back.
So
they're
no,
going
that's
to see
important.
That.
I got to interrupt. So Blake, are you calling your shot right now? Because Blake, you're the most, let's just say, critical of certain things that we aren't critical of. Are you calling the shot? Are you saying that this is going to be net positive for DJT?
I think we'll see a hit in the polls initially. I will predict that. I think Donald Trump will sink in the polls briefly. I think he will come back, and by the time of Election Day, I think we will see a result where they will think it probably would have been a better idea to not charge him.
And hey, this actually might be an interesting thing. And Andrew, I want everyone to think about this. If we want to run against Joe Biden, if we think that Joe Biden is better than Gretchen Whitmer, and I think Gretchen Whitmer would be really tough because I think she's a blue wall designed candidate, then maybe if Trump takes a little temporary hit in the polls, galvanizes the base, it keeps Biden competitive, and then it allows us to run against actually the candidate that we think is weaker than a hypothetical replacement candidate. Final thoughts, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, we had Newt Gingrich on the show today, and he brought up what he thought was going to happen. It would be if they're going to remove Joe Biden, it's going to be with Gretchen Whitmer and Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. So, I mean, that was a wild idea that I had not considered. So I agree. We want to run against Joe Biden. I think I've never actually been in the camp that they're going to remove him. I think he's too stubborn. I think he holds too many cards. Ultimately, at the end of the day, he'll go down with the sinking ship because he's a selfish SOB and he's a vile, vile, disgraceful human. So yeah. I think he, you know, I think he's got an ego the size of, Russia. Anyways, here's my final thought though. We talked about it before. I'm very curious. And the poll that I'm going to be watching is if this slight weakness that we've seen in boomers, if this verdict reverses that trend and shores up boomers with Trump. I think this is such an affront to the mental image, the muscle memory that boomers have when they think about their home country, America. I think this grates against the fact that we're not a banana republic, or at least we weren't until May 30th. And so I'm going to be watching that number. And I think that this, when we talk about boomerangs, backfires, whatever, that's what I really think. I think that's going to, if you see movement there, I think my prediction, my called shot will be that November will go very well for us.
Okay. I don't know.
Andrew, 50-50 shot. Andrew, real quick. I know today is May 30th. We're almost done May. So Saturday is going to be June 1st. So I just wanted to wish you a happy Pride Month.
It's got to pick on the California guy, huh? Yeah, listen.
I'll say that any poll boost that they might get because of this, I think might be reversed with Pride Month.
Yeah. Just speaking saying. Of grading on the American public.
Yes, that's right. Okay, everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. This was an unusual episode of Thought Crimes. Thank you guys for that. Get your tickets to the Turning Point Action People's Convention and subscribe to our podcast. Tomorrow we have some really hot shows coming in. Jack has a great show. We have a great show. So make sure starting at 12 Eastern, make plans to watch us on all of the platforms. 3 hours, we are going live. It's going to be amazing. It'll be must listen to radio, must listen to podcast, must watch streaming, and get your tickets right now to the People's Convention. God bless. See you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.